bringing the stories of people just like us directly into your home and learning more about them. This is Trent Speaks. Oh gosh, and what a week it has been since the last podcast. I tell you, I'm just on such a high right now, and I'm so happy right now, but also in so much pain. I'm recording this on Sunday night, the week of the podcast. We're just one day after returning from the Ragnar race, which we will talk about in a little bit. If you remember correctly, that is the 15-mile relay race that I ran this past weekend. Welcome in once again, everyone, to this week's episode of the Trent Speaks podcast. And sometimes I don't even know. I get into a groove and then I still lose the groove. Following up on last week's podcast, I wanted to make a quick note for you, a quick update for you. I talked about how I went to get checked for skin cancer and how you should be checking your own bodies and just being aware of it, really, overall. I actually received the letter on the day the podcast was released. So on Thursday, I did receive a letter from the clinic, from the doctor. Thankfully, good news, no cancer, which is, again, always good news. The only, I guess, red flag is that one of the moles that they had removed actually indicates that I am at a high risk for skin cancer. So I'm at a higher risk. So while it's not cancerous, I'm at a higher risk in my lifetime. You know, I was texting my dad about it. My dad said, "Oh, I'm sorry to hear that." And I said, "You know, I'm really not worried about it. It is what it is. It's nothing big at this point. And so it just means that it's something I have to be more aware of as I go throughout my life. And it is what it is. Again, I'm not worried about it. I'm going to continue to live my life day in, day out like I normally would anyway." Also, a quick programming note I want to touch on in the beginning before we get into the meat of the podcast. There's a lot to share with you for this week. Programming note, I'm going to start changing this to a Monday podcast. So yes, that means that this podcast will come out on Mondays. After some thought in terms of my time and when it's best for me to do the podcast in terms of getting it out to you in a timely manner and taking into account your opinion, your feedback, as well as when you typically listen to it, I decided to throw it on Mondays. So you'll have the entire week to listen still. You'll still have one full week. It'll just be every Monday. But that way there won't be the weekend right after the release of it. And you'll have the whole work week to listen to it. I don't know. In my mind, it makes sense. If it doesn't make sense in your mind, it doesn't really matter because it makes sense in mine. Talking about minds, you know, last week I told you I was worrying about a phone call that I received, which I think could or could not have been a scam. Who actually knows? But I also had mentioned how, you know, Leanne is the one who was very good at grounding me and saying, trying to get me to kind of come back to reality and not overthink or get this anxiety, and how it's sometimes Leanne gets mad because someone else could say the same thing, or I could see something else, like the post I shared from Sydney last week, and that could be really what helps me in the end. But sometimes, again, it's just hearing it from other people. It's an outsider's perspective in a way. And so I took a few notes even today, just before recording the podcast, how I recognize that worrying doesn't do anything. Overthinking doesn't do anything. It's non-productive, really, in the end. But that's just a part of the way that I'm wired. It's just the part of the way that I am. It might be part of the way that you are, part of the way that you're wired. Maybe you get anxiety or overthink, or there's just some things that really start to bug you or get on your mind. And, you know, I was watching Shameless as well today. I'm on season 8. For a long time, I've been caught up, just haven't been able to find the motivation to actually watch it. I've been watching a couple other shows. Started watching season 8 today. I'm about just over halfway through now. But one thing I've learned from season 8 so far that just hit me today was it doesn't matter how many times you mess up. You know, in the show, they relapse with alcohol. There's a couple characters right now that are in rehab, and they relapse. And a couple of times the theme has come up that you can always start over. Yes, you don't want to get to that point of having to start over. You don't want to get to that point of relapsing. But you can always start over. You can always start fresh. There's always a new start to everything. And so I thought about that in perspective of my life. There's always going to be the anxiety of certain things. There's always going to be the overthinking of certain things. But it's okay for me to start over, and every day is a new day. Every moment is a new moment. I try my best. I truly do try my best to live in the present, but sometimes, to be quite honest, it's impossible. And you may, if you haven't been through anxiety or overthink, you may not be able to relate. And again, that's okay. We're all our own person. We're all wired differently. And that's what makes us unique, is our differences, the different things that we experience. But I just want to take a second to recognize it's okay to be who you are. You can always start over. Every day is a new day, a fresh day, to be the person that you really want to focus on being. For me, there are things I want to be better at. There are things that I want to do. And so every day is a new opportunity or a new shot for me to take advantage of those opportunities or of those things. And you know, Jenna, she's been on the podcast before. She shared her battle with mental health. She's the one who also I talked about recently, how she had quit her job. And I kind of want to get her back on the podcast, even just for a little snippet of kind of how that's going, what played into that thought. But she left her job to focus more on being inspirational to people and sharing her story and wanting to be a help and be a support for other people. And so Jenna had shared a post on Facebook earlier, and it read like this: "Never underestimate the power of your mind. It can do some incredible things, but can also destroy you. Remember to take care for yourself first." And I think that's important. It's something I've talked about on this podcast before. It's something other people have talked about on the podcast, including Jenna herself. How you need to make sure that you're taking care of yourself before you can help or before you can take care of others. My friend Holly shared a couple things from Time Hop on Facebook. And I'd like to share those as well. One of them is, you can only become truly accomplished at something you love. Don't make money your goal. Instead, pursue the things you love doing, and then do them so well that people can't take their eyes off of you. She also went on to share this post later in the afternoon. "Each morning when I open my eyes, I say to myself, I, not events, have the power to make me happy or unhappy today. I can choose which it shall be. Yesterday is dead. Tomorrow has not arrived yet. I have just one day, today, and I'm going to be happy in it." Again, I think that goes back to the living here and now. And this is another post. I actually, my friend Shelby shared this on Instagram. And this is something that she shared last week. I forgot to read it on the podcast, but I think it fits perfectly into this theme, and it'll be a good wrap-up for us. "Every morning we get a chance to be different, a chance to change, a chance to be better. Your past is your past. Leave it there. Get on with the future part." And so I want to talk about today living in the moment, something that I try to practice what I preach, and that comes up quite a bit between me and Leanne, where things will come up and Leanne will say, "Trent, you say to do this, but you don't actually practice it. So how can you talk about it on the podcast? How can you talk about it to other people if you aren't going to to practice it or do it yourself. So I want to talk to you about living in the moment, because I mentioned to you last week, I've struggled recently. I fell into another pit of worry and anxiety and overthinking. But this past weekend, running the Ragnar was exactly what I needed. I'll tell you what, I didn't overthink, I didn't worry at all in the weekend. And for me, I was shocked because I'm thinking to myself, I have 4 or so hours that I'm on the trail running. What am I going to think about? And instead, I was thinking about a lot of other things in the moment. But thankfully, none of them were worrying. None of them were overthinking. And I think sometimes that's what keeps me going is yes, I get into those ruts sometime, but then I just have great moments like this weekend. Great moments with friends. Great moments with people I don't know. I'll tell you what. I wish camping and hanging out with the group that I was with this past weekend had lasted longer. I was so sad. Even on today, Sunday, the day I'm recording, I was just so like, I was bored, I'll be honest. I was bored, but I wasn't going to leave my apartment because I'm sore as well. But I was just like in this mood where, gosh, I really wish I got to spend more time with these people. I wish I could hang out with these people. Even when they all went home on Saturday afternoon and I had to drive it my separate way, my first thought was, gosh, maybe I could drive 2 hours and just follow them just to have dinner with them before I go home. The thought, it didn't happen, but the thought went through my head. That's just how much fun I had. You know, Thursday night, I drove to the hotel. They did reopen the campsite. However, we had booked a hotel instead because severe weather was going to be coming through. And I was sitting in the parking lot waiting for my friend to arrive, Megan. And so I thought, maybe I'll record these little snippets of myself throughout the weekend of kind of my thoughts, and I'll piece them together for the podcast. Well, let me tell you, that didn't happen. The only one that happened was me sitting in my car on Thursday night as I was sitting there car watching people drive by while I waited for my friend. And this is what I had recorded. Currently sitting in the parking lot of the hotel that we're staying at the night before the Ragnar. And I actually feel nervous. I don't know if I'm more nervous for the race this weekend or that if the fact that I'm about to meet five or six other people that I do not know. I still even get nervous meeting other people. But I'm sure it'll work out fine. It always does. All right, we'll see what happens. Yeah, I was very nervous. I was extremely nervous. But I tell you what, I got to the hotel. Well, my friend had pulled up. I went and I met up with her, and there were some people outside. And right away, they were all talking to me like we had known each other already. And it didn't take very long for me to think, because three of them had arrived probably about an hour before I had arrived. And I had sat in the parking lot for probably another 40 minutes or so. So probably an hour and a half, I could have been hanging out with these three other people who I became great friends with over the weekend. And I wish we would have all known, because I would have loved to have hung out with them. These people were awesome. I'm not going to lie. On the first night, yeah, there were some awkward moments probably where we were all sitting in the hotel room trying to think of conversation. But once all eight of us that stayed at the hotel were all together and talking, it was so much fun. And it's like I had known them. You couldn't even tell I was meeting them for the first time. I just think back, and it's those moments, it's those memories And it's the memories that I'm going to continue to share with you through this podcast that I'm going to remember and I'm going to reflect back on. It's going to be the friendships that I made, the people that I met, and some of the things that we talked about that I'll forever hang on to and I'm forever grateful for. And, you know, I didn't really know what to name this next part and in terms of my segment of my notes, but I named it Running in Relationships. And it makes me, the thing I'm curious about is how do you move from, hey, this is an acquaintance of mine to this is a friend of mine? I'm sure everyone defines friend a little bit differently, which is fair. So I'm going to say friend because I made some great connections with these people and some more than others, which you'll hear about shortly. Gosh, it was just such a great weekend though. So running order is something that you're going to think to yourself, well, gosh, why does that matter? We don't care when you ran. But it's going to make a difference hearing the full story of why the running order mattered. So I ran 7th. There were 8 runners, or supposed to be 8 runners. We had 7 on our team, which is what a regular team is. It's typically 8 runners. An ultra team is typically 4 runners. The ultra team had 3 runners, meaning they were doing the same amount of loops with us, except with less people. And the regular team had 7 runners when it's supposed to be 8. So leg 6 is where they were running. You now you have 8 runners and you have 3 different legs of the race where you're running a red loop at one point, which is 7.6 miles. You're running a yellow loop at one point, which is 4.5 miles. And you're running a green loop at one point, which is 3 miles. And the reason it's important to know the order is because, again, I was 7th. My now new friend, Lauren, was 8th. And in the 6th position, it was kind of a rotating spot. So 3 different people decided to rotate through that 6th runner position. So I had 3 different people who did the handoff to me during the relay. And then I always handed off to Lauren following my run. Now, this is important to know for the rest of the story of the weekend. And you'll see why momentarily. Now, my first run, we were anticipating, we had like a, I guess you could call it tentative schedule of when we may be running during our times. We were about an hour behind on Friday night. We started at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And like I said, we were about an hour behind once we got toward the end of Friday night. So I didn't run until about 8 p.m. was my first run, was my 3-mile run on Friday night. So that run was in the dark and I had a headlamp on. It went really well, I thought. Well, I get back from my run probably around 8:40-ish. And now Lauren is going to run. And so I walked back to camp and we had a huge campsite set up. We had what we thought was going to be solely a hangout and changing tent. We had 2 other tents that we were going to have for sleeping. We had a canopy set up that had chairs under it with our food and kind of just another hangout spot that would be outside. Well, what happened when I got back from my first run was I found out that 2 people were sleeping in our changing tent. So all of a sudden, all of the thought that we put into what tent is going to be what is now out the window. So we're closing in on about 9 o'clock, and I'm go somewhere quick to change and everything out of my running clothes. And I wanted to change into my future running clothes while also putting on warmer clothes. Now, you have to remember, like I said, my first run was at 8 p.m. at night. And it was only, I think, 56 degrees during the day on Friday, and it was supposed to cool down to 36 degrees in the evening. So we're in this cooling period, so my first thought was, okay, what am I going to wear? And I brought a ton of clothes. I brought hat, gloves, long johns. I brought a pullover. I ended up running in my pullover, shorts, a hat with a headlamp underneath, and gloves. I ended up taking my hat off during the race. I also probably could have and should have taken my pullover off. However, I failed to do so because I was more focused on just getting done with the run. Well, that'll be important to know later too. As you can tell, I'm a really good storyteller. So again, around 9 o'clock, 9:15 or so, I'm crawling into one of the tents, and Megan, the girl who had invited me, which to refresh your memory, Megan called me 2 weeks ago on the Thursday before the Tough Mudder and said, "Trent, do you want to run the Ragnar race in 2 weeks?" And I was like, "What?" And she told me details about it and where it is and everything like that. And she told me cost, and I said, okay, for a race, what's in it for me? What am I getting out of this? And her first response was food. Her second response was medal, and I stopped her right there. I said, stop right there. I get a medal? All right, I'm in. So it didn't take very much convincing. My only disclaimer to her was, as long as I don't get injured this week in the Tough Mudder, I will be there in 2 weeks. And so that's how I got roped into this weekend, to kind of tie that back in. Again, as you can tell, great chronological storyteller I am. So for the third time, I'm going to tell you, around 9 or 9 o'clock now on Friday night, I'm getting into one of the tents. And Megan told me, she said, well, do you have a sleeping pad? No, Megan, I don't. She said, well, just use this one. No one's using it right now. Cool. So now I have a sleeping pad and I don't have to just lay on the bare bottom of a tent, which is on the ground. And I had a knapsack. I should be wearing my knapsack right now so that you YouTubers can see it. I'm not wearing the knapsack. But a knapsack is essentially, you should seriously get one. I would strongly advise you investing in one. A knapsack is a sleeping bag you can wear, and it's phenomenal. And that was the best decision I made, was bringing that sleeping bag, that knapsack. And I didn't know if I should bring the knapsack, if I should bring a sleeping bag. Megan didn't think I should bring the knapsack. And I was like, no, I'm going to bring the knapsack because it'll be warm. It was really funny, though, because on Thursday night, I texted Dylan. Dylan is Megan's fiance. And I said to Dylan, knapsack or real sleeping bag? His response was, depends on if you want to be cool. And I said, of course, I need these strangers I'm camping with to like me for at least 36 hours. To which his response was, neither a knapsack nor a sleeping bag will make that happen. Joke's on you, Dylan, because it made Lauren later in the night receive a lot of comments when she wore it around the camp. All right, getting back to what I was talking about. Oh my gosh, for the fourth time, I'm in the tent at 9 or 9:15 p.m. with the sleeping, with my knapsack on, now laying on a sleeping pad. And so Megan and I are sitting there talking, or I guess laying there talking, talking about how we're so exhausted, and it's only 9:30, but we're not tired, so we can't fall asleep. Well, now Lauren is shortly coming back into the tent from her run. And the reason that 9:30 is important, knowing that Lauren around that time is coming back from her run, is because now you get to hear about what I call late nights with Lauren and Trent. Or you could call it tent talk. Because, oh, I was trying to figure out what this note meant, but now I know what it means. you could call it tent talk, because for the next 5 or 6 hours, Lauren and I were in the tent together the longest with other people and carried on a conversation that entire time. Again, I told you earlier that running order would be important to know. And this is why. I told you, I was the 7th runner. The 6th runner was a rotating position. And Lauren was after me as runner 8. Well, in the second leg, so in the wee hours of the morning of Saturday, it was Lauren, me, Lauren again. So kind of like a little sandwich there. So I was waiting to know when Lauren left for her run so I would know when I need to leave for my run. So it only made sense to talk to Lauren and see when she was planning on getting up. And she said, well, I need to get up around 2:30 a.m. So I said, okay, wake me up when you're getting ready to leave so that I know when you're getting ready for your run, and I'll come down and get ready for my run. Oh my gosh. We talked and talked and talked. and you know, it's so funny thinking about the entire weekend. Megan is a very dear friend of mine. I'm going to interject here and kind of go off pace of Ragnar for a second. I actually didn't meet Megan until probably my junior year of college. Dylan, my good friend who officiated my wedding with Leanne, I actually met Megan through Dylan in a way. They actually started dating while Dylan and I were RAs together. And so it was so great to see Megan. She is a dear friend of mine. I'm excited to hopefully podcast with her sometime very soon still. But I remember that at one point in the tent before Megan was about to leave for her run, she actually told Lauren and I that we need to stop talking to each other because Megan was best friends with both of us and she didn't want me and Lauren to become friends because she didn't want to feel left out those were Leanne's words, but Megan did not want us to forget about her. And I said to Megan, Megan, no one could ever replace you and Dylan. And apparently adding the "and Dylan" was a mistake. However, she knows I love her. She's awesome. Megan, you're fantastic. Thank you for helping me to meet new people this weekend. I love meeting new people, especially with the great group of people we had. You, Lauren, Matt, Chris, Dave, Rory, Adam, Bethany, Lauren. I'm probably forgetting people, but it was such a fantastic time. Seriously, thank you so much for inviting me. And I think sometimes you just hit it off with the right people. And there were a few people over the weekend that I felt like I just hit it off with where you're not meeting them for the first time, but it's like you already knew them and it was fantastic. All right. I guess I should get back on track now. Me, Megan, and Lauren talked. Megan had to leave for her run. And then Matt and Riley came in. And other people came in. And so Lauren and I would bring up our conversations again so that we could ask other people the questions that we had just been talking about. And it wasn't like, you're probably thinking, oh yeah, okay, so if I'm meeting a stranger for the first time, and I'm meeting someone I don't know, I'm probably going to ask them, oh, where are you from? What do you do? Where'd you grow up? Do you have any brothers or sisters? What is it you like to do? Like, what are your hobbies? Nope. Nope. Not a single one of those questions came up. Our conversation I'll just give you some sort of like range or spectrum here. Our conversation ranged from talking about sitting in like a hot tub of hot cheese all the way to chipmunks cutting off my feet with pine needles. And everything else that's weird in between that. And so then when other people would come in the tent, we would ask them about the hot cheese and we would ask them about the chipmunks. Yeah, weird, crazy, right? I'm pretty sure people were getting annoyed of me and Lauren because we couldn't stop laughing. We couldn't stop talking because we weren't tired. And I was so happy that someone else was awake like I was, so that I didn't have to lay there in silence staring at the ceiling of the tent for the next 5 hours. So I was happy to have someone to talk to. We may or may not have made people mad that they weren't able to sleep, or made them a little upset they weren't able to sleep. In the end, I'll be honest, I really don't care, because it was so much fun. Talking to one of the other guys toward the end of the trip, he was saying, you know, those are the kind of things, though, that you'll remember about this weekend. Those are the memories. Those are the things that you're going to remember. And the friendship formed right there. So I don't know if Lauren would call me a friend or not. I would call Lauren a friend. And so that's where my question of when do you move from acquaintance to friend comes in. I would say talking 5 hours about sitting in a tub of hot cheese and chipmunks cutting off someone's feet probably moves you into like a friendship level. All right, so talking about the run. So now my first run was 8 p.m. My next run was 4 a.m. 4 a.m. Yeah, Lauren and I had my first two. She had her first three runs in the dark. We were the only two people that had not yet seen daylight during our run. My 4 a.m. run was my longest run of the night, which was the 7.6 miles. In this one, my knee was starting to hurt a very tiny bit, but I was able to push through and I was very proud of myself. I was also very proud of myself because I hit my goal of just under 2 hours for the 7 mile run. And so I was semi-accurate in telling Lauren when I'd be back to the transition tent. Now, the first thing Lauren said to me when I handed off the bib to her in the transition tent was, "Trent, okay, go get some sleep now and warm up because it's only 36 degrees outside." Well, I could have gone without hearing that because I could have felt it in my hands already. My hands, I kid you not, my hands were so numb. I didn't bring gloves with me. Didn't even think about it. I didn't wear long johns with my shorts because I knew I was going to get hot running. And I'm glad I didn't wear them. I don't regret that. The only thing I regret about that run is, again, not wearing gloves. I had brought my knapsack down for Lauren as well because she was just going to hang out at the village area instead of walking back to camp while she waited for me. And that is where she received compliments about my knapsack. I love that knapsack. Get yourself a knapsack. They're so great to wear around and to lounge in. But yeah, so I was happy that I had the knapsack at least after that race. So I had something warm a little bit to wear back to camp instead of just freezing instantaneously. But even when I got back to camp, I put my gloves on when I went to bed and was just direly trying to warm my hands up. That was also, the first frost of the season. Yeah. Yeah. The first frost of the season. So I survived that. And at least I have a good story to tell out of it. Thankfully, not sure what time I was able to fall asleep once I got back to camp, but eventually, at least probably 7:30, I was able to fall back to sleep. I don't remember hearing anyone else leave the tent after that. I just remember a bunch of us. There were probably anywhere between 3 to 5 or 6 people in the tent at one time. And we all made sure to lay within close proximity of each other. You don't realize how great it is until you're not doing that, because you really only care about body heat at that point in time. I tell you, that was such a cold night. Yeah. All right. So sleeping, I wake up the next morning, and you know, I haven't felt this way in a very long time. And I hate to even describe it this way. But the way that I woke up on Saturday morning felt like a hangover. And it could have been a combination of things. It could have been lack of sleep, lack of food, lack of water, lack of sodium or electrolytes or protein. Could have been anything. But it was such an awful feeling waking up on Saturday morning and knowing I still had one more run to go. So around 1:30 in the afternoon, I took my final run, and I was disappointed in myself. I was mad. You know, on the 4 a.m. run that I had, I actually teared up a little bit on the trail thinking, oh my gosh, this is my 7-mile run. This is it. I'm doing the Ragnar. I'm going to finish. I'm going to feel accomplished when it's all said and done. And a couple times I would shout to myself. I would yell things out to kind of keep myself going on the trail. For example, the first time, because Lauren was after me, they were serving dinner only until 10 o'clock. And so I knew I was going to get done somewhere around 8:30, 8:45. So I kept shouting, Lauren needs to eat. Lauren needs to eat, as motivation to get myself back so she could do her run and then still eat even after her run. I shouted motivation to myself a lot. I clapped my hands like that a lot to kind of keep myself going, keep myself motivated. But yeah, that last run, the 4.5-mile run, it took everything out of me. I was so disappointed in myself. My knee was killing me. My ankle started to kill me. But you know what? I finished. And that's all that matters. I was able to accomplish 15 miles within a 19-hour span. 15 miles within a 19-hour span. And for me, it's about that sense of accomplishment. It's something that I talked about this weekend with the crew of people that we were with. That's why I like doing races. I am not a runner at all. I hate running. I despise running. But within a 2-week span, I did a Tough Mudder half, so a 5-mile, 13 obstacle course. And with only 2 weeks' notice, I did a 15-mile relay race. So 20 miles within 2 weeks. And then you got to throw in the training runs that I had in between those 2 weeks, the obstacles, the trail running of sticks and stones. I fell on two of the trails. But for me, it's a sense of accomplishment. It's something to be prideful about. It's something I love. It's something I'm happy for. It's something I feel great joy out of. And I was on such a high. You know, I said that a couple weeks ago when I finished a Tough Mudder, how I finished it. And I was on this like adrenaline rush. I was on such a high of like being happy and thinking like, oh my gosh, I could run the course again. And then I signed up for a full Tough Mudder for next year already. And I've already said I could do the Ragnar again. I could run with people again because it was so much fun. I loved it. I love the crew of people I'm with. And sometimes that makes all the difference. Who are you surrounding yourself with? Who is your support network? Who are you hanging out with? Because sometimes that may be what it is you need to evaluate. Sometimes that may be what you need to take a look at. That, you know, people's energy can rub off on you. If people had been negative all weekend or sour or anything like that, it probably would have been a really dull weekend and had an impact on my experience. So kind of take a look at that. Who are you hanging out with? Is there a positive influence in your life, or is it something that you kind of need to revisit? And then why are you doing things? Are you doing things just because you want to? Are you doing them because you have to? Are you doing them for a sense of accomplishment? Are you doing them for pride or joy? Or is this something that you're feeling forced to do and you really don't want to do it? If you're not enjoying it, then it's not going to be fun. You need to try to always find the positive, or to at least put a spin on it if it is going to be that negative aspect. I was talking to Megan this weekend and saying how, you know, if I wasn't viewed as conceited or arrogant, I would love to wear my Tough Mudder half headband around my head all the time. Because for me, that's a sense of accomplishment. It's something that I'm proud of. But to others, they might be like, oh, look at that guy just looking for attention. It's why I bought like this little do-rag survivor cloth thing from the Ragnar. Well, so that at least I can wear that on my runs, because then I don't look as much like I'm flaunting it, because it's just another piece of apparel. It's another part of my outfit for running. And so I don't think we have the right to judge people for what they're wearing. I feel like we have the right to say, oh, well, they're being arrogant because they're wearing that, or they're being conceited or narcissistic or whatever other words you want to throw in there, because you don't know what it is that they're proud of. You don't know what it is that they've accomplished. You don't know what it is that got them through that race. For me, it was getting through severe knee pain in that final leg, as well as getting through ankle pain. This is the most that I've ran, the longest I've ran in that amount of time, since my ankle surgery last year September, or last year summer. So summer of 17. So for me, this is an amazing accomplishment. And I'm excited to see what the future holds in store. What else can I run in? What else can I feel accomplished about? And so I challenge you this week to take a look at that and think about what is it that makes you feel accomplished? What is it that you're proud of? And don't be afraid to flaunt those things, to show those things. Maybe it's putting your degree in your office. Maybe it's hanging your medal up somewhere where people can see it. Maybe it's wearing that headband or that bracelet or that t-shirt so that people can see what it is you've done, what it is that you are proud of. I'm also excited because this weekend I talked to Megan, of course, and my goal, of course, assuming I can get the time off, my goal is to go to Minnesota in a couple weeks, hang out with Megan. And finally, I told you last week I wasn't going to promise you this week, so good thing I didn't. And finally record a podcast with Megan, as well as record a podcast with Lauren at some point, whether that's in a couple weeks or just sometime in the near future. Because after talking with her this weekend, she also has some very interesting pieces to her life that would be interesting to hear on the podcast that she would be able to share with you. So I'm excited for what the future holds in store in terms of guests. I do know that next week, as long as nothing falls through, next week we should have Kevin on the podcast. Again, take a serious thought about who it is you're surrounding yourself with. What kind of energy are you surrounding yourself with? Remember, no matter where you are in your life, you can always get back up on the high horse. You can always get back up in the saddle. You can always start over, start anew. What is it that you're proud of? What do you want to accomplish? And I don't know what else to say here. Have a great week, everyone.